Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Gratitude Division here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, we're only human, and so every once in a while, we like to get a pat on the back, just like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we come here week after week. We do the best we can to answer people's questions. I mean, we don't know if anybody cares or not. So it's nice when someone expresses his genuine gratitude for what we do.
Like this listener named, what's his name? Daniel Lastman, and he writes, "Dear Click and Clack, I want to thank you for your podcast. I recently traveled up to Boston with my 91-year-old grandfather. The two of us shared a single hotel room. Your show, with its thick accents and boisterous banter, completely blocked out the sound of his nocturnal flatulence. Without it, I wouldn't have gotten a wink of sleep. I am forever indebted to the both of you. Best regards, Daniel Lastman. P.S. It did nothing for the aroma, however."
That's heartwarming, isn't it?
It is. Well, it is kind of heartwarming. It's little things like that that make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, if we can somehow affect people's lives like that, I'm happy.
Sure.
I'm fulfilled.
It's one of those things that you would never guess, but there it is.
There it is.
It is with a thank you.
I would have expected, you know, the car broke down on the way, and it was our sage advice from a show he had heard 2 years ago that allowed him to diagnose the thing.
And it's only that we were making a lot of noise.
Right.
And that's what saved them.
Yeah. We're noisy.
We can do that anytime.
Drowning out flatulence. That's what we're good for. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or grandpa's flatulence, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. That's what we've been reduced to. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michelle. I'm calling from Oakland, California.
Hi, Michelle. What's going on?
Oakland.
Yeah, yes. We've been to Oakland.
Yeah, nice place.
Yeah.
It is. I just moved from San Francisco. I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah? And what's so different about the two? I mean, I know they're different, but what makes you not love San Francisco?
I love San Francisco, too.
Oh, cool.
What's better about Oakland?
Well, what's better about it is my husband loves it better.
Oh, and what does he love about it?
He thinks it's like really diverse and funkier and actually much less lonely than San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people engage you in conversation in Oakland, whereas...
Kind of, yeah. And there's just more people around, and there's the sun and the warmth, which always helps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Seeing the sun is always an uplifting thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm from Manhattan, so, you know, it's all sort of alien to me to begin with.
So you've never seen the sun.
It's all paradise to you.
It's all paradise to me.
So anyway, Michelle, what's going on?
I have a 99 Honda Accord LX, and about a year ago, my husband started telling me that he felt something really weird in the gas pedal, but it wasn't until about 2 months ago that I started feeling it.
Uh-huh.
He told me I had to say that, so I got that part out. He found it first.
He found it first.
Okay.
Big deal.
It's very marked now. When I press the gas pedal after I haven't been in the car, you know, anywhere from 10 minutes to overnight, when I get in the car and press the gas pedal, there's like this barrier. It presses down about a quarter of an inch, and then there's this like block.
Oh,
and I have to push through it, and I lurch, and then the accelerator is just fine, and there's no problem. But it's always that getting it started.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like this block.
And as the engine warms up, does this problem disappear?
It seems that way. I mean, it seems like once I break through the barrier, that's what I call it, it warms up. It's just fine. There's no problem. And then if I were to park it, run into a store, and come back out, it would be fine. But if I were to park it and, you know, go have lunch with someone and come back, I'd have to go through the same thing again.
How long are these lunches?
That was wishful thinking, really.
Oh, I see. That was just by example.
Yeah,
if I were to have lunch with somebody, not when I have lunch with somebody.
Well, I was imagining I was like one of these people who lunch, you know.
Yes.
Well, what you have is your car, like most modern cars, has something called a throttle body, which houses the throttle plate. And in your car, modern cars don't do it with a cable, but your car has a cable which connects your gas pedal inside the car to a bell crank which operates this throttle plate. And the plate...
And what it does is it opens up when you step on the gas to,
okay.
to allow air to come in.
And when more air rushes in, the fuel injectors sense that, and they say, oh, let's send in more fuel, and that's what makes the car go faster.
Is that what makes fools rush in also?
Yeah, fools rush in.
We're no man, whatever.
So anyway, so what's happening is that plate, which is supposed to move freely in that housing, which is called the throttle body, is getting stuck. And it's either getting stuck because there's a lot of carbon buildup in there, or it's just worn out, and the metal of the plate has started to dig into the metal of the throttle body, which is aluminum. So we found in almost all cases that cleaning that throttle body, in other words, taking the thing apart and giving it a good cleaner with a solvent, is usually enough to fix this problem.
And it's cheap.
Okay.
And it's cheap. Okay. Yeah. So, and I can give you the worst case scenario, and that is that it, I don't know how many miles you have in this car, but
120, 130.
Yeah, well, it's possible that the thing is worn out. You may need a new throttle body, but I don't think so. I think cleaning it will do it.
I think so, too.
I think you've got 120,000 miles worth of crud in there.
Yeah.
Crud is a technical term. So if he cleans the crud, you're good to go.
And if it's not good, so I get another one, and is that outrageously expensive?
Yeah, you know, call back. I don't think you're mentally prepared to take that information today. See you, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hey, it's Darren from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
With an E-N?
With an E-N.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fort Wayne.
The current Detroit Piston basketball team.
Yeah, they started out in Fort Wayne.
Used to be the Fort Wayne Pistons.
The Zoner Pistons.
Yeah.
Well, who the heck cares?
Right on.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of an interesting little tidbit. I guess I'll mind my own business from now on.
Well, it's hardly earth-shattering information.
Fort Wayne is where they made pistons for engines, you know?
Yeah.
So it only made sense that a team should be, you know, known for what the town is known for. You know, so there were a lot of Pistons.
All right, fine.
So if
all right.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
So what's up, Darren? Let's shut him up.
Yeah, we could. If the team was named after you, we'd have the Boston Piston Pusses. All right, Darren, go ahead, man. Sorry to have interrupted and taken away from your 4 minutes.
No. I've got a 1996 Jetta Trek edition, and I've had it for about a year now. I got it as a graduation present. I'm a college student now, and I've been driving it all summer, and around May, underneath my dash on the passenger side, right where the air vents are, it's been leaking, and it just started leaking a little bit, and then it's kind of pouring out. Like, whenever I turn my AC on, it just pours out. Being a college student, I didn't get it checked out. My parents have been getting at me to check it out, but yeah. I just duct taped like a fast food cup to the floorboards, and I just empty that every day.
Oh, so, and you probably have figured out that it's filling up with water.
Yes.
It's just plain old water.
Yeah.
So what are you majoring in this college?
I'm majoring in photography, actually.
Photography. So you're going to learn just about nothing about the world.
Certainly
nothing about your car.
No, and maybe nothing about, see, if you were majoring in chemistry.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Engineering of some kind.
You would know, maybe.
Like chemical engineering.
Maybe.
You
might know that when air conditioning works, it works by removing moisture from the air inside the car.
Okay.
So when you've got the air conditioning on, what it's doing, among other things, is it's sucking water out of the air that's inside the car. And that water has to go someplace. And where it usually goes is out of the car through a hose.
Usually, he said.
Usually. Not in your case. Because that little hose is plugged up.
Okay.
And where it's going is right in the car.
Right, because it's backing up and it's filling up that little box that the air conditioner...
it doesn't go over very well with dates, you know.
No, especially when it spills on someone's shoes. I mean, that could be embarrassing. So that evaporator drain is filling, is plugged up. It's filling up the box that houses the evaporator, and you need to have that cleaned out.
All right, well, how much is that going to cost? That's actually why I have the...
No, it's peanuts.
It's nothing.
Yeah, someone's going to blow it out.
It's just plugged up.
Yeah, they'll blow it out with compressed air.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, Darren.
Yep.
Bye. Thanks for your call, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Hi, this is Mary Jean calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Mary Jean.
Mary Jean.
Hi.
What's going on?
My 2003 Saturn View, I love it to death, is making this god-awful donkey-type squeaking noise when I go over bumps and when I turn the wheel to the right.
So the noise is
exactly.
And it happens when you turn the wheel and when you go over a bump.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you. But if you turn the wheel, you don't have to be moving. You can get it just turning the wheel left and right, sitting still. Is that true?
No, just when it's moving.
Oh,
that changes things.
I already went through plan A, B, C. I'm on D now. Wait a minute. Mary Jean, hold on a minute.
Okay.
What color is this 03 view?
It's black.
It's black. That's not a big help at all. It's black. And was the onset of the noise sudden? I mean, or did you think you heard it one morning and then it got a little worse and a little worse?
What happened is I was in a car accident in March, and they replaced, like, the whole frame on the car. And it started out then, and then it stopped for a while, and now it started again.
Uh-huh. And can you isolate the what quadrant the noise is coming from?
From the right front tire area.
Huh.
Okay, so it's .
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the tire is hitting the inner fender. The inner fender liner.
Okay.
You know, there's a piece of plastic that's above the tire that's secured to the body of the car that's mm-hmm. supposed to keep mud and whatever from splashing up into the innards, whatever happens to be there. You know, there may be controls there. There may be the fuse box. I don't know what's...
I hate to disagree with my older brother, but it doesn't sound like that to me at all.
Well, my first inkling was it sounded like a bad ball joint.
Yes, that's what it more sounds like to me.
It could still be. However, I think a bad ball joint, you would get some noise turning the wheel left to right, even when you're not in motion.
Right.
And have you taken it to the garage and asked them to take a look at it?
No, not yet.
Well, you got to do that.
Well, you know, it's always easier for them to diagnose something
when
that piece has fallen off.
All right.
You know, so if a wheel falls off and you say, hey, guys, I think this was making the noise for 3 months and it finally fell off.
Okay.
Except it could be dangerous.
Okay.
So let's go back again. When you hear the is it, how many, do you have to keep hitting bumps, or when you hit a bump, do you just get one?
When I hit a bump, like, I just hear noise.
Yeah.
Then when you turn the wheel and you're moving, you also hear the
Yes.
And is it a one-time or is it continuous as you're making the turn, for example?
It's continuous as I make the turn.
Uh-huh.
It's continuous as you make the turn. Well,
that's very strange.
Well, it's possible then I have plan D. I'm working on D, E, and F.
I do, too.
Well, it could be that the disc rotor is hitting the dust shield. That could make that noise.
Okay.
But it's certainly something they ought to be able to duplicate.
Yeah.
And to find out its exact location where they strap on mechanic.
Okay.
We strap someone to the hood.
Strap on mechanic. I like it.
Yeah. You know, I've been developing a Velcro suit.
Yeah.
All right.
So we can stick a guy right on the hood with Velcro.
I like that idea. That's kind of cool.
Actually, some tool guy that comes around our shop has a little radio device that you can actually attach.
Oh.
You know, you can stick on a fender with a magnet.
Okay.
And you can hear if the noise is coming from that fender or the other. It really is a great aid.
Well, we tried to do that once, remember? That
was a long time ago. With the hose.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is much better. This is the high-tech version.
The high-tech version.
Yeah, well, first we tried strapping Tommy to the bumper with his football helmet.
I wasn't up for that. Every day he'd say, come on, don't be a wuss.
But, you know, we could hear you describe this, but when they drive the car... They, if you've identified it already as being the right front quadrant, mm-hmm. they'll be able to figure it out in a minute.
It sounds like a shock to me.
It could be a shock absorber, too.
Okay.
It could be a shock mount. But
all
since they replaced all that, they probably replaced your subframe.
Okay.
This was a real bad accident, huh?
Yeah, and the thing is, it happened on, like, the accident was on the left side. I hit the concrete barrier on the highway.
Oh, yeah, but you bent noises. But you bent everything.
I bent everything. Yeah. I had to replace everything.
Was it your fault, or did you get cut off by something?
It was in snow.
You were driving too fast.
I fishtailed. No, I wasn't driving too fast. I slowed down, and I fishtailed, and I went into the concrete barrier.
Well, if you were parked, it probably wouldn't have happened.
I know.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, people tend to do things with all-wheel drive vehicles that they wouldn't do otherwise, but that's another story for another day. We're happy you're okay, and your car will get fixed.
Okay.
See you, Mary. You may get it done soon. It could be serious.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. It was about a town called One Horse, Nevada, that had only one bobber. Is that it?
It is. I'm speechless.
Yeah, we should all be so lucky.
You got it exactly right. I mean, I can't believe it. How'd you do it?
Well, I have to admit, I cheated.
Oh, yeah?
I got the Patriots to steal your signs. See that video camera over there?
You dirty dog. Well, anyway, we'll have the answer to the one barber puzzler and more of your car questions when we come back in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
You don't need to say I do, and there won't be any I love you. Jump in at the start. Any gear will get us into pop. Gonna take you on a test drive.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from sales of our combination car wax hair stabilizer from NPR, NPR member stations, and
KNN, providing an ecological alternative to disposable air filters designed to last the lifetime of each car. More information at knfilters.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness. And this reminder not to drive like my brother.
Or like my brother.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
And even though NPR's president dives into his isolation tank whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And you may remember, years and years ago, we had a puzzler called A Haircut in Horsetown.
Yes.
About a fellow who was passing through a little town called One Horse, Nevada, and he found himself in urgent need of a haircut. And he couldn't decide which of the two barbers in town he should go to. Well, we're going to fast forward to the present day, and this puzzler takes place in that same little town, One Horse. But now there's only one barber left. Mm. The other barber died in a tragic accident trying to trim my brother's hair with a chainsaw. Anyway, there's only one barber in Horsetown, and yet the town council has decreed that every man in town had to be clean-shaven. No facial hair of any kind would be allowed.
Not even really long nose hairs?
Especially no nose hairs. And moreover, the town council declared any man who did not shave himself must be shaved by the town's one and only barber. So if you're a man, you had two choices. You shave yourself or you get shaved by the barber. The question is, who shaves the barber? Right?
Wow.
You're with me? Now,
I'm with you now. When
I gave this puzzler, I figured at some point when I gave the answer, this would elicit from you something we hadn't heard in a very, very long time.
What?
The word, ball.
But, well, I was confused by this.
Well,
I will admit that I was confused.
Well, let me see if I can further confuse you, and then I'll give you the answer. First of all, can someone else in town shave the barber? No, because by decree, either you shave yourself or the barber shaves. You have no exceptions.
Right.
So the preacher, for example, or the shoemaker cannot shave the barber.
No.
We agreed?
We're agreed.
So then, can the barber shave himself? Well, I don't think so, because the barber can only shave those men who do not shave themselves. So by shaving himself, the barber, in his capacity as the barber, would then be shaving someone who shaves himself.
Right.
Okay?
I just had
an inspiration.
An inspiration.
An epiphany. Well, you may have had the same inspiration that my wife had, because she got the answer in 1 minute.
She did.
She did. And did any of your wives get the answer? Are you speaking to any of your wives?
No.
Through your attorneys?
No.
I mean, you could be relying on past, present, and future wives.
No, but here's what just came to me. Nobody shaves the barber.
Why?
How the hell do I know?
Well, nobody shaves the barber because the
barber... Is that
barber,
right?
Yes, is a woman.
Get out!
If she's of Mediterranean extraction, there may be a problem. But otherwise, a woman barber would satisfy all the conditions.
Wait a minute now. Is a woman barber called a barberette?
The Barbarella. No, I don't know. I go to a woman barber, and it's in a barber shop. So I think it's legit to call a woman who cuts men's hair.
Oh, so no one shaves the barber is almost the right answer.
Yeah, no one shaves the barber because the barber doesn't need to be shaved. Do we have a winner?
The winner this week is Carla Bowes from Alton, Missouri. And for having your answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Carla will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get our new 4-CD collection called 4 Perfectly Good Hours. As in, you've wasted 4 perfectly good hours. These are 4 actual shows as they originally aired that we picked as some of our favorites. And you can have them all, Carla, for winning the Puzzler this week. Is this your lucky day or what?
Maybe. Anyway, we will have a new Puzzler, brand new, later on in the show. So don't abandon all hope of hearing something interesting today. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carrie, and I'm calling from Tallahassee.
Carrie? Carrie? How do you spell this?
Yes, K-A-R-I.
Never would have guessed that.
Oh, no.
Tallahassee?
Tallahassee, Florida.
So what's going on, Carrie?
Well, I have a 99 Volkswagen Beetle, and about a week ago on the highway, I basically ran over a giant piece of tractor-trailer tire. There's a car in front of me, swerved at the last minute, car next to me. I couldn't swerve and just thought, oh, I'm going to have to go over this. Boom, I went over it. About 2 minutes later, my air conditioning went out. Just, and then no more. Just doesn't come on. When I stopped, I peered underneath from in front of the car, and there's like a plastic plate sort of toward the front underneath that's cracked and sort of half hanging open now.
Yeah, that was the debris guard. I used the past tense because it isn't anymore. And that's actually called a stone guard or whatever kind of, you know, could be an armadillo guard if you're living in Florida. Could be anything.
Right.
You know, so that was shattered. And what else did you notice?
The car is driving fine. Nothing else seems to be affected. As far as I know, I'm not super knowledgeable about cars. But it's just the air conditioning is no longer working. Is it most likely that I pulled a pipe loose or a hose with the air conditioning?
Probably.
Probably busted the whole thing.
Well, who knows? I'm pretty sure that this vehicle has one belt that drives a bunch of stuff, including the air conditioning. So if the belt got shattered or stripped off of there, something else would not be working too. You know, for example, you know, the alternator would not be working. So it's likely then that what you did was you busted one of the pipes off the compressor or you sheared a hose or something. You didn't hear any accompanying hissing or see anything dripping out on the ground. You were moving along on the highway anyway.
Yeah, I was on the highway. I mean, it was probably an hour before I stopped.
Yeah. But this should be easy to figure out because no one's looked at it yet, right?
No, nobody's. I've been out of town, in and out, so I just haven't had time.
Oh, yeah. When they put it on the lift, they're going to say, oh, my God, you're going to need a new compressor. And I wouldn't be surprised if it cost you $1,000 if that's...
Okay, yeah.
Maybe.
And you do need to replace that guard.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, but I wonder now, how different is this? What if she had had an accident? What if you had rear-ended somebody, for example, and as such you broke the condenser, which is right in the front of the car, right in front of the radiator, and your insurance would cover that.
Right.
Mm. Does your automobile insurance cover something like this? I mean, this was a road hazard.
Mm-hmm.
It was an accident. Certainly, wasn't your fault. I mean, if you had tried to avoid this thing, you might have caused a 600-car pileup.
Exactly.
You know, so you did the right thing, in a sense, by driving over it. And for your, you know, good behavior, you're kind of paying the price.
I would say that it is covered by insurance.
Yeah. Oh, I'll definitely try.
Oh,
for
sure.
That kind of money.
Yeah, find out what it is. I mean, if, you know, if it's just a small repair, then don't bother. But if it's
right,
going to be hundreds, I would submit a claim.
Okay.
You know, the insurance industry is going to put a hit on us right now. Good luck, Carrie.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike calling from Bradford, Massachusetts.
Where the heck is
Bradford?
It's on the Merrimack River, part of Haverhill.
All right, where's the Merrimack River? No, we didn't know where Bradford was, but we know where the Merrimack River is, and we know
Do
where...
We?
I know where the Merrimack River is and where Haverhill is.
Yeah, go to Lawrence, turn right.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So what's cooking, man?
Well, I have a 1997 Honda Accord wagon with 164,000 miles on it, and it drives fine. But I've noticed a lot of glare on the front windshield, especially driving at night with oncoming headlights, and late afternoon with the sunlight, so that it's almost like the windshield sort of frosts over. And I was wondering if there's anything that can be used to fill maybe these tiny pits or scratches or so on to reduce that glare without replacing the windshield altogether.
No, there's nothing you can do except break the windshield. And go to your insurance company and they'll pay for it.
Here's what you do. I mean, baseball season is still going on. You got to go to a ballpark where they're playing and park right next to the field with the hope that somebody hits a line drive through your windshield.
Okay, but there's no, like, coating or wax or filler or anything
like
that.
No, I mean, you know, there have been some companies that have done repairs on windshields insofar as being able to seal up a small hole caused by a hit from a rock or something like that, where they can put some kind of an epoxy in there and then sand it out and whatnot. But
this is
the whole windshield is a mess. And after 164,000 miles, you deserve a new windshield, and I would appeal to your insurance company. And here would be my argument. I can't see out the window anymore,
yeah,
and I think I'm likely to crash my car and cause harm to somebody. And this is just wear and tear, but it's no less dangerous than a windshield that's cracked, I think.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's no question that it's covered.
On the other hand, there's nothing that's quite as convincing to the insurance company as a good crack in the windshield. So, you know, I don't know how you can arrange that and still sleep at night, but if there's any way you can put the car in a convenient location so that it might be susceptible.
No, I don't think they will argue if he just describes it the way he described it to us. I don't think there's any problem with that.
Well, here's the problem.
They know that
the thing is... What if they say no? And then Mike, 2 weeks later, says, guess what?
I got a big crack in the windshield.
A brick hit my windshield. They're going to put you in jail. So it'd be, when you do make these inquiries, don't use your real name. but whatever, you need a new windshield.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, there is nothing better for an old car than a new windshield.
It'll knock your socks off.
Because it does. Usually the first 2 or 3 years are pretty good. And then the degradation is pretty rapid, you know. So now the car's 10 years old. It's in 164K. It's time.
Okay.
If they won't pay for it, bite the bullet.
Gotcha.
See you, Mike.
Hi, thanks for your help.
Thanks for your call. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Angel. I'm from Oklahoma City.
Angel.
Hello.
Boy, that's a nice name, isn't
it?
That's a tough name to live up to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, parents must have thought it was a great name, but how do you get by? I mean, how do you do it?
We had a kid we wanted to name Damien, but anyway.
I remind people there's angels on both ends of the spectrum.
They're good angels and evil angels.
That's right.
All right, so what's going on, Angel?
Well, I have a 2000 Chevy Astrovan, and when I start it, sometimes it makes this noise, and it's like it starts it, and it goes.
Oh, we got some wacky noises.
Are you
today.
A dog groomer?
No, I'm an insurance adjuster.
You're an insurance adjuster.
Real estate.
Really? I was just wondering why you'd be driving an Astro van.
Because I'm a mommy and I have three kids.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't been fixed.
So you're in the insurance business?
Yes, I'm an adjuster.
You're an adjuster for cars?
Yes.
So if somebody is driving along on the highway, let's just pick a car at random, like a little Volkswagen Beetle, and that person strikes a piece of tire retread from a semi that's been cast off,
mm-hmm.
and it tears up the underside of her car and damages the air conditioning system,
mm-hmm.
is that covered by her insurance?
Yes.
Ha! Get whoever that was back on the line. How about a windshield that you can't see through because it's
pitted. It's not broken, but it's pitted.
It's pitted because of, 160,000 miles of road use with, dust and debris and road salt and pinging upon it.
Is that covered?
No.
No?
Really? So we're batting 500, which isn't bad. Okay, so you got this. Let's go back to your little dilemma, Angel.
Yeah.
You've got this.
Yeah, but it can be louder, and then sometimes, and then, okay, I can start driving and drive maybe a couple miles, and then it gets lower and lower, so it's like it starts off, and then it goes.
Oh, do you have to be moving to get this sound?
No.
Okay, all right.
I start up the car, and it starts.
Right, and what's happening is I believe you have a cracked exhaust manifold.
Yes, you do.
And the crack in the manifold, as the thing heats up, closes up. So
okay.
When the engine is cold and you start it up, it's it's almost like it's puffing through this hole. And if you had the engine cover off and you looked at this, you might even be able to see the exhaust coming out. And you could certainly hear it if you had a stethoscope. You'd find that one spot where it's pouring out through this crack. And then as the engine warms up, and by the way, with the cast iron manifold or a steel manifold, it only takes, a minute or so before this thing expands enough to close up and stop the noise almost entirely. It never really ever goes away completely, I bet, but it must get diminished by 90%.
Yes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in order for your mechanic to find it, you're going to have to leave it with him overnight. And you're not going to like that because you got all those little rugrats that you have to drive around every day, but they have to get it when it's cold so they can find it right away. They may not be able to find it once it heats up.
Right.
And they might even lend you a car.
Not if you tell them you have kids. Yeah, don't let them know you have kids because we know what kids do to cars.
Right.
I remember finding once, we had a Dodge Caravan that had the three rows of seats.
Yeah.
And some kid, it might have been one of my own kids, sat in the very back and had a Coca-Cola or something, which got left in one of the 500 cup holders this thing had. And of course, those cups, which are lined with wax, I guess, eventually leak if the stuff stays in. So the stuff leaked out, and then mold began to grow on it.
Oh.
I thought someone had left me like a bouquet of flowers in the back because this thing was just growing. So kids are disgusting little creatures. And
so you kept seeing this thing. You just didn't do anything about it.
I caught it with my peripheral vision one day. I said, flowers, that's nice. And then anyway, Angel, I think that this is an easy fix, but it may cost a lot. But you've got to fix it because if you have an exhaust leak, there's a danger of getting fumes into the passenger compartment.
And that's not good stuff to inhale.
How much do you think it'll be?
Well, if you needed the manifold replaced, it could be many hundreds.
Ah.
But you got to do it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Put a claim in. You must tell me you hit a tire.
Good luck, Angel.
She's thinking about it. See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go marine.
What are you talking about?
Marine lingo, where everything's coded in acronym like MREs instead of food.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to take an ELR.
Is that a break?
Well, it's an emergency listener respite.
And when we come back, will you have a new puzzle for us?
Negative, and I'll have an IBC.
Internal?
No, improvised bogus conundrum.
We'll also have more of your car questions.
Yes, ULIs, unscheduled listener interruptions.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute, maybe.
I like how the steering wheel is firm under my hand. I like how the headlights cut across the shadowland. I like how your voice is low and breathless in my ear. I like that it's cold outside, but warm in here. Surrounded by this highway, we're
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from sales of our new North Beach diet. Start every day eating a frozen cheesecake with a plastic fork in front of the freezer from NPR, NPR member stations, and
SitForLess.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black. SitForLess.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness and a reminder that switching radio stations increases your chances of an accident.
See, we always told you not to flip.
More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
the Union of Concerned Scientists, a science-based nonprofit working for a healthy environment and a safer world. Hybrid vehicle comparisons are at hybridcenter.org.
And even though Michelle Norris wonders if it's too late to consider a career in water ballet whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Okay.
Don't get your hopes up. The essence of this Puzzler, I would say, was sent in by someone named Miles Benson fairly recently, like 95 or 96 or something. More recently than that. Anyway, I had to, monkey with it. By the way, I did get an email from someone who suggested that we would get much better Puzzler submissions if we offered a prize, and that prize might be the $26 gift certificate. So not only could you get a prize for answering a Puzzler, but you get a prize for submitting a Puzzler that we use. And I think we used to do that, but we kind of stopped doing it.
Wait a minute. That's every week. It costs us $26 every week.
Well, they have to catch us. Yeah, and that was one of the stipulations, too. If you get a Puzzler used, we use your name, and you catch us, we'll send you that gift certificate. So that's the new deal.
Oh.
Anyway, let's go right on here because the clock is ticking. I overheard a conversation between two young fellows one morning while at the local coffee shop, and they were discussing their jobs. And one of them said, "I set my trip odometer the first day I started my job, and the round trip is exactly 20 miles." "Well, that's great," the other guy says. "I wish my job was only 10 miles from home." "Oh, no," number one guy says. It's only 5 miles to get to work, but 15 miles to get home." The other fellow says, "What are you, driving an ice cream truck or something like that?" No. He says, "Oh, I know. You're going to taking a detour to visit your girlfriend?" "No," he says, "not at all. I drive directly from home to work, taking the shortest route, and I return from work also taking the shortest route. No detours, no side trips. I come directly home, and it's 15 miles to get home, making it a 20-mile round trip to work and home from work."
Wow.
Now,
I like it already.
I'll add a little, and he goes on to say, "Last week the boss called and asked me to report to another location for a few days to fill in for someone who was on vacation. You ready for this? On those days, I drove 15 miles to get to work, but then the ride home was only 5 miles." Explain this.
Wow.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the underside of a Stanley Vidmar Automotive Technician Center with 8-foot service bench, 200-pound draw capacity, freestanding strut channel frame, oversized tool storage area, recessed draw pulls, and a 15,000 BTU wok attachment. We like to eat Asian,
Yeah, right.
"And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But if you have a question for us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Tim calling from Ithaca, New York.
Hey, Tim.
Ithaca.
What's going on, man?
Yeah.
I've got a 91 Acura Legend.
Wow.
It's got about 130,000 miles on it now. But I purchased it at the end of last winter when it had about $121,000 on it, and it had a blown head gasket. So I got it for just a few $100, so I was, you know, up for a big challenge.
Yeah.
I tackled the giant V6 engine that they've kind of shoehorned under the hood there and got everything replaced, and I'm proud of myself because it seemed to work fine.
So you did it yourself. You took the head off.
I did it myself.
You just replaced the one head?
I did both to be on the safe side.
You did both. So you replaced both head gaskets.
Yeah, and it seemed to run fine at first. Well, it did. And just as, you know, I finally kind of got rid of all the faint radiator fluid smell, you know, from the car. And it would kind of be present for a while, and I got a little worried. But then it was just, you know, it had a lot of it kind of flowing around for so long, I guess it took a while to dissipate. Anyway, then, of course, then it came back. All of a sudden, I'm smelling more, and I thought, you know, something's wrong. And the upper radiator hose had split a little, and I was a little concerned, but, I, you know, and because the radiator had been replaced, he had, you know, receipts from someone who had just done it a few months before trying to fix his overheating problem, which, of course, was the blown head gasket. So it had new, you know, had new hoses there. I thought, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. This doesn't sound good, Tim.
All right, so I replaced that, though.
The radiator hose.
Then the socket goes out, the upper radiator hose.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, my wife calls me from work saying,
Any chance we can skip to the Reader's Digest version of this story? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Keep going.
You got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
a heater hose in the front of the engine blew.
Yeah.
I replaced that. Now, is this just, okay, some of the hoses are older. The radiator hose might have been cheap.
No, I'm going to give you a brief sequence of events as I see them.
Okay.
I think you didn't, by replacing the head gaskets, you didn't address the essential problem, and that is that you have a cracked cylinder head.
Oh.
And I think the original problem where the thing that caused him to replace the radiator is exhaust gas under high pressure got into the cooling system and popped the radiator, popped the seam on it. So he went ahead and replaced that. And then who knows what else happened, but maybe at that point the head gasket was diagnosed, but incorrectly diagnosed. You go ahead and do the two head gaskets, which wasn't a bad idea, but what you could have done, which maybe would have discovered the problem, is you could have had both cylinder heads pressure tested.
Yeah.
You send them to a machine shop, and they look for cracks. So what's happening now is exhaust gas pressure is getting into the cooling system, and one by one, it's blowing the next weakest thing in line. Didn't blow the radiator this time because you got a nice, stout new radiator in there. So it blew a radiator hose, which never happens on Acuras. You know, it just never, ever happens. Yeah. The original hoses last 20 years. Then it blew a heater hose. That never happens either.
Now, the heads were machined, but I don't know that they pressure tested.
No, they probably didn't.
Probably not. You're going to have to replace both of them.
Well, if they did, here's what's that joke? Do you want the bad news or the very bad news? Here's the very bad news. If they did mill the heads and they pressure tested them and they were negative, then the block is cracked.
Oh. That would be really bad.
Tim, you're still there. Tim, you all right?
That would be the worst.
That would be the worst case scenario. So either
if you're lucky, one of the heads is cracked.
And that's the most likely thing to happen.
That
a head is cracked.
That adds the pressure to the
system. I mean, my brother's head is cracked.
hasn't slowed me down much.
So even though I put like 10,000 miles on it so far, it still could run very well, except for this is going to continue blowing hoses.
Oh no! You've got to fix this because eventually it's going to overheat so badly that you're going to crack things that aren't already cracked. So you've got to address this ASAP while the weather's still nice before the snow begins to fly.
All right.
Good luck, man.
All right.
Let us know who you make out, but I'm rooting for it being a cracked cylinder head.
Cracked head.
I feel very strongly. And take both heads off, send them out, and find out. Face the music, man.
Okay.
See you, man.
Good luck, Tim.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
85-year-old Rosalie calling you from Tallahassee, Florida.
Rosalie.
Yeah, how are you?
Not bad.
Okay. In March, my 93-year-old boyfriend, Floyd, brought me a brand-new PT Cruiser.
He did?
Wow.
A yellow one.
Really? So wait a minute. The PT Cruiser is a brand-new one?
Brand-new one.
And how old is Floyd? 93?
Floyd is 93, and he's a hunk.
I'm sure he is.
You mean there's still hope for me?
No, you got to start off looking good to, you know, I don't think... You know what? Never
mind. Well, maybe it'll get better.
Well, my joy began in March and my problem began in April.
Oh.
This car is only getting 13 miles to gallon. And Chrysler told me to use premium gas in this car to get the mileage up. And I want to know what you guys thought about that.
I think Chrysler's got their heads up their keisters.
Well,
13.
First of all,
what do they say it should be?
Well, the salesman said 20 miles to the gallon when I bought
it. What did it say on the window sticker?
I don't remember, guys.
And so you do primarily city driving, is that true?
Yes, I do.
Stop and go?
That's true.
And
well, that's the worst kind.
Yeah, so that's going to cut into your mileage. Do you often sit with the thing idling and the air conditioner on while you're waiting for Floyd to, you know, come out of the bingo parlor?
He's usually waiting for me.
Well, I mean, excessive idling, and of course you're always running the air conditioner too. I mean, that does cut into your mileage. So it's not inconceivable that, let's say the mileage, you know, the city mileage for this thing is going to be like 18 miles a gallon.
That's what I figured, but 13 just doesn't make it.
Well, if 18 is the EPA rating, maybe 14 or 15 is what you're likely to get.
Yeah, you're getting close to what it's supposed to get.
And 13 may be a reflection more of, you know, taking short trips or excessive idling. Are you stuck in traffic a lot when you drive?
Yeah, a little bit. This is a small town, so that doesn't happen too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, 13 is an awful, but to go to the other side of the question, changing to premium gas, first of all, this thing does not require premium gas.
Who told you? The dealer told you this?
Yeah, the general manager.
Okay.
Well, he's wrong, because premium gas is just a waste of money. And it's not going to improve your mileage one iota. And if you've tried it, you'll probably notice that it hasn't improved your mileage.
Okay.
What it's going to do is diminish your bank account. Because, well, premium gas costs anywhere between 20 and 35 cents more a gallon.
You're exactly right. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. But your car requires regular gas. And if the check engine light isn't on and the thing is driving well, you're probably getting the mileage you're going to get. But you can enjoy Floyd nonetheless.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, Rosalie.
Bye, guys.
She probably spends 10 bucks a week on gas. Big deal.
Well, maybe she can hit Floyd up for some money for gas. I mean, he's obviously loaded, right?
Yeah.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hey. Jim. Do you know our friend Rick Boyer who lives there?
No, I don't.
He tells us he lives there. Every time I try to visit, no one knows where he lives. The street doesn't exist. The address doesn't exist. He doesn't answer his phone. All right, well, anyway.
He's trying to get rid of you.
Oh, that may be it. So what's going on, Jim?
Well, I don't really have a technical question for you guys. It's more of an ethical dilemma.
Oh, that's us.
I know. You guys, you're pros here. So
is it something you stole from work? Is it something you stole from work?
Oh, no. Not that bad.
Something you'd like to steal from work?
No. This one relates to family and grandma.
Ah.
Okay.
All right. My grandmother cut me a really sweet deal on her 1989 Buick Century. It's a V6 Limited. Beautiful. Thing had 39,000 miles when I got it last year.
Uh-huh.
Now, wow. Every time grandma and grandpa call, though, it's always, oh, how's the Buick running? How's it going? Mm. And let's face it, I'm a 24-year-old young guy here.
The
I don't exactly want to be seen in that.
No.
So
what have you done with this? What have you done with this Buick Century?
Oh, I've driven it all over. It's like driving a big couch, you know, anywhere you go.
Yeah. Are you a single guy?
Right now I am, but I do have a girlfriend. You know, things may develop that route, but come on, I mean, I'm driving an 89 Century here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're gonna find out the true measure of her devotion. If she can fall in love with you whilst you're driving an 89 Century, she's some woman.
Oh, well, and so far I got that going for me.
You do.
That's good.
But, I mean, I don't want to break grandma's heart, you know, the next time they call and say, how's the Buick run? And be like, oh, I got rid of it.
You can't get rid of it.
I know. I don't want to be that guy.
I think, Jim, you have kind of stumbled upon a litmus test here for your girlfriend. That if she can embrace both you and this loser car, and your love for your grandparents, don't forget that. That if she can empathize with all of that, then she's the woman for you. Do you think she's the woman for you?
We've been, you know, talking about, you know, furthering our relationship indeed.
Ah.
I mean, to be honest with you, she started dating me when I drove a 91 Civic before Grandma and Grandpa even gave this.
Yeah. Well, 91 Civic is a little more, you know, age relevant.
Mm-hmm.
How old is Grandma?
I feel embarrassed.
No, never mind. You don't have to tell us.
Okay. Whew.
You know, I was just curious to know when she decided. Does she have another car, or this is it? She's given up driving?
Well, no. She gave the Buick to me about a year ago right now.
Ah.
You know, I drove it all the way back home from Chicago.
Yeah.
And the thing ran like a dream. But then when I got home, the brakes went out, and I had to get the lines replaced.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I couldn't even mention that to Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, no, you can't tell. No, as far as they know, the car's running great. I think no matter what, you should continue to keep the car, and as best you can, you should keep it running well.
Okay.
I think so,
and when
too.
How often do you converse with them?
Well, luckily, now I've moved away from the rest of the family, so it's not as often as it was.
And they don't have any ideas of coming to visit you?
Not anytime soon that I'm aware of, at least.
And you're not planning to visit them unless you go by plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
You're safe.
Yeah, I'd say, and if you have to lie, Jim, lie. But I think this is a good test of your relationship with your girlfriend.
Okay.
But what does this girl think of the Buick now?
Well, I mean, you know, she doesn't have a problem with it.
And she hasn't said, you haven't overheard her say to a girlfriend, oh my God, I'm taking that Buick again. If I get caught one more time in that, I'm going to puke. You haven't heard her say that.
No, I haven't. In fact, I've even, she's borrowed it a couple times.
Oh.
So.
Jim, she's the one. Sign her up. Good luck, man.
All right. Well, I guess I'll take your advice. We'll keep going with it.
All right.
I think so,
all right,
too.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
All
good
right.
luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Mm.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fond du Lac, Pepper Jack, Roast Lamb Rack, Loin of Yak, Celeriac, Sugar Smack, Armagnac, and Ipecac Late Summer Snack, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley, assisted by Gladys Radio. Glad it's radio. Get it. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our jewelry appraiser is Golder Meyer. Our alignment expert is Lou Segusi. Our registered mail manager is Kent B. Good. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Euro-spewing tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this. Don't drive like Tommy.
Don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 739, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK, or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com. This week, featuring something I've actually been meaning to talk to you about.
Are we going
to
have the personal hygiene talk again?
No. I actually want to talk to you about automotive hygiene.
Is it my car's exhaust? You can tell me.
No. This week at cartalk.com, we have a professional detailer's guide to cleaning your car.
Really? What do you think you would suggest for my car?
I think cruelty-free varmint traps and maybe then a match.
Check out Car Talk's tips from a detailing pro all this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Travelocity, offering tools and information to plan travel worldwide. Support available 24/7, so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com. And
K&N, maker of washable lifetime air filters, an ecological alternative to disposable air filters. More information at knfilters.com. And
Allstate now offering accident forgiveness with a warning for people who eat greasy double cheeseburgers while driving.
Hey, I don't do that. I get the triple.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though migrating birds see if they can get on an earlier flight whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.